ya lo hace, pierna derecha, directo al arco, golazo, golazo.
The world of football with a soccer perspective. This is Soccer Today with Dwayne Mullins and Kevin Larame, live on the Sports Podcasting Network.
Good day, good night, and welcome to Soccer Today for Tuesday, October 2nd, 2018. Kevin Larame, that's me. Dwayne Mullins is on the line. Dwayne, how you doing today?
I am well. I'm not even nervous as a City fan, even though, strangely enough, this is probably the most important game that they will play of this calendar year. Well, not of this calendar, of this new calendar, if you follow me, like from the time the season started until December. Because if they lose today, it gets a little bit little tight collars at that point in terms of the City's Champions League hopes already because of the loss against Lyon. But we'll get to that in the second part of the show, Kevin.
Yes, Champions League preview from the games today and tomorrow will take place in the second part of the show. We're starting the show today talking about the last weekend's Champions League. And if you're joining us looking for Kenyan men's national team cover, the roster is out for the game versus Dominica. On the next Two Solitudes podcast, Dwayne and I will talk about this amazing roster. A roster that are like, that's not bad at all. Dominica won't touch the ball. And we'll talk about this on the next Two Solitudes Soccer podcast that you can
As well as the Forge head coach naming as well. And just Kevin, quickly, I will say one thing about this roster. I'm really happy to see Atiba back. And other than that, we'll leave it at that.
They need a mentor. I'm playing FIFA 19, and even Alex Hunter has a mentor, a few mentors with Madrid. So it's good that Canada and Atiba is going to mentor Davies, Ballou, and company. We'll talk about this on the Two Solitude Soccer podcast that you can get access to for $2 a month on patreon.com/sportspodcastingnetwork. Premier League results last weekend. A few good games, and let's start with the first game of the weekend and the most interesting one. West Ham 3, Man United and Jose Mourinho 1. I'm kind of shocked that he's still the manager at this very moment.
Yeah, and look, this is the Premier League weekend was bookended on Saturday, but the opening game and the late game were what really everyone's going to want to talk about, and obviously for very different reasons. The Mourinho effect is large and huge and ongoing, and you can't not talk about Jose Mourinho, which is part of what makes him successful when he's successful and part of what makes him a distraction when he is not. And right now, this is an incredible distraction. You have a Manchester United team that is simply not playing anywhere close to what you would expect them to based on what that roster looks like, although there are some weaknesses on it. But, you know, still, there's a lot of talent there. And certainly the history is not being shown out here. 10 points out of 7 games, that is mid-table stuff. And that's not what we're used to seeing out of United. Even a couple years ago when they had sort of a low season, they weren't down this low. This is joint worst start in the Premier League era. And it's going back to the first years of the Premier League where they last started this poorly. So, look, I don't know why he's still in charge other than theories. My theory is that if you look at what the Glazers do with this club, and the Glazers, you know, a long time ago, they were the villains of football. I think there's a lot of them out there. Like Mike Ashley certainly jumps out that have sort of taken over. But if you're a United fan, you still have this, you know, quote unquote, American, well, not quote unquote, they are, but you know what I mean when I say quote unquote, like that American thing hanging over it where they seem to use United and have used United in the past as like their personal bank. They're leveraging stuff off of them. It's a very profitable enterprise that they can use to sort of stabilize their entire operation. That's not what people want to see in the Premier League. They want to see these ownerships that are out there just for glory, whereas the Glazers seem to be out there for an investment with, you know, one of the world's biggest brands. And there doesn't seem to be a desire to look beyond the ROI in a lot of ways. And I think that's something that, you know, the modern football aspect of this is something that I think is starting to creep in when you're looking at United. Because I think that one of the reasons Mourinho is still in charge, Kevin, is that to buy him out would be very expensive.
It would be very expensive. But then comes the discussion of Mourinho. His third club in a row that the third season jitters are a thing, right? Maybe even fourth if you go back to Inter. But let's go back to Madrid. third season, the players wouldn't listen to him. The players wouldn't react to his motivational tactics. Same for Chelsea. And now same for United. How long does the tactic of I'm beating you up with a stick, there's a carrot in front of you, are you going to get the carrot just to make sure that I can shut my mouth or not? There's a shelf life to that strategy, and it seems to be 3 years.
Well, look, I mean, the first time as a kid you go to the circus and you watch the clowns, you laugh. If you go the next day, you maybe laugh a little bit more, but not as much as the first day. And the third day you go when you watch the clown, you don't laugh at all because the clown's hijinks aren't funny anymore. And I'm purposely using an analogy of a clown here because in many ways, Jose Mourinho's antics are clown-like. They are very much, he is playing a role. He's playing a character. He's playing, you know, Jose, he's the special one.
Is he a parody of himself by this point?
Well, he's become that puppet that we saw back in the day, right? The special one TV. He's kind of become that puppet. He doesn't have, you know, a squeaky voiced Rain Rooney with him. He's in DC now, but that's kind of what we're seeing here with them. And I do think that that's a big part of that. These guys, you know, he is bigger than life. So when he comes into a club, yeah, I'm sure that you are a little in awe of him until you realize that there's this. Look, and I'm not inside the dressing room, so I'm speculating here clearly, but I think that if you see a guy like this, and this goes across sports, that is this character that he's playing, that it wears thin after a while because these guys, they are heroes on their own right. They're celebrities in their own right. So he doesn't have that same power over them that he might over the media or he might over the general population. So eventually they start to look at him and go, this guy's just a clown, right? He's just a clown. And the clown isn't funny anymore. And I think that that's what's happening. And that's why he has a short shelf life. And he... My question with Mourinho is what's next? I think that's the most fascinating question. I don't think he will last the year in United, or he will last the year and that will be it. I cannot see him managing Manchester United next season, barring them, you know, winning the Champions League or something, which I don't think they'll do.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen.
I can't see it.
No, and I don't think that's going to happen, them winning the Champions League. Huddersfield, Tottenham. 0, Tottenham 2, Tottenham 1 on the road, and this one on this field in relegation zone right now, but it's way too early to give it a notice of the standings, to just play your games and in a few months take a look at the standing. But for Tottenham, they needed that win to make sure they didn't have too much of a gap at the top end of that table. Speaking of top end, Arsenal and Watford back to reality, Arsenal back to wins, 2-0 for Unai Emery's team. Wolves 2, Southampton 0. We're finally, I think, seeing Wolves at the level that they truly are. They had a difficult schedule to start the year, even though a great result, they had the 1-1 versus City and all. But Wolves beating mid to bottom table teams quite handily, and that's where we saw Wolves at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, look, I mean, we've talked about this a few times, how there is no mid-table anymore within the Champions League. Maybe Wolves, maybe Watford, maybe they are the mid-season. Leicester you might throw in there too. But other than that, it really is kind of a all-the-way-up, all-the-way-down situation that we're seeing here in a lot of ways. I do like the way Wolves play. I like the way Watford plays for that matter. But Wolves in particular are playing well. You know, the team that I had pegged early to be kind of a dark horse Fulham is struggling a great deal because they aren't able to adjust their style correctly enough to adjust to the Premier League. So there's a lot of gunk in the Premier League right now, Kevin. This is the bottom half of this league is not as weak as I can remember it. The top half, I think, is quite entertaining and compelling. And when you look at Liverpool, you look at Chelsea's start, you look at City, obviously, which was expected. Yeah. Arsenal is playing above what people thought after a tough start. They're 5 in a row, right?
Yeah.
This is a lot of excitement at the top of the table. And, you know, you've got United for some intrigue in terms of a struggling top team. But when you look at that bottom half of the table, it's not been a pretty start to the year. You know, they don't have, you know, a lot of times the English Premier League fans like to call this the greatest league in the world because they view 1 to 20 as stronger than other leagues. I don't know if you can make that argument this year.
Maybe not. It is the greatest league in the world for other reasons, for production values, for the amount of attention that it generates, and for the viewership that it does generate. But for other reasons, yeah, not so much. Newcastle 0, Leicester City 2. What is going on at St. James Park?
Well, I mean, not much. I mean, they've got an owner who's insane. They've got, who's daring people to buy him out if they could. And it's a mess up there. There's a lot of improvements needed to St. James Park as well. There hasn't been a lot of investment made in there in a long way. We've talked about this to death, I think, and a lot of people have, that this is a club that very much kind of reminds me of Leeds in some way, although Leeds now seems to be in the uptick again, in the sense that it's an historic old club with a great following that kind of fell off. They haven't fallen off the cliff in the same way Leeds did, obviously, who fell all the way down to third tier. But they certainly have fallen from where they were in the 90s, and in the I don't 90s, know if you'll ever see it go back.
What, 6 years ago? They were like top 10 in the Premier League. Like, never mind 20 years ago. They were there 5-6 years ago, where the Newcastle was the big club out of the rest of the contenders, right? You could say they were like 7th, 6th, sometimes 8th by the end of the season, but they look good now. Well, I'm going back to like 2012, 2013 here. Now it's like, yeah, they don't spend money, and I guess that's what not spending will give you, a loss to Leicester at home.
Well, I think Rafa is keeping this team as good as they are.
You can know? You imagine?
He might be keeping the flow, yeah.
Can you imagine David Moyes with Newcastle?
I mean, that's it. They have 2 points. So maybe we don't have to imagine two, but 2 points, no wins. So it's not exactly, yeah. There's a lot of goals. They've become, I made the Leeds example. I'll give another example. They're kind of like Spurs were for about 10 years ago before they started to get it together, right? Like a club that had so much potential and you could see it sitting there, but just couldn't get their stuff together. I mean, Spurs were fighting relegation a few times a decade or so ago. Paul Stroteria was famously part of a great escape team that's Fulham, never mind. But they certainly were in the bottom half rolling around. I'm mixing up my white teams. At any rate, it's kind of a mess up there. It's a shame because there's still, again, and this maybe it's we're biased because of where we absorb the Premier League from in this part of the world, where I think there are a lot of Newcastle fans, because when a lot of people first started to watch the Premier League consistently, Newcastle was a top team, as you say, and now they're not, and these fans have stuck with them, to their credit, but it's kind of a sad mix, though. Although I do want to say before we move on, I do want to slap Everton on the wrist for ruining the perfect 2-0 10 o'clock start. Every game other than that one was 2-0. You could have made a nice little bundle on a parlay bet if you did that.
Yeah, a 2-0 result actually for Brighton is not too bad. Man City 2, Brighton 0. Man City got the win at home, and in mind, they did have the Champions League of today. So
They were at a trot. They were at a canter.
Exactly.
throughout that game.
It was actually noticeable when you were watching this game, the difference of speed that the midfield and the strikers would go in exertion. Just like, okay, we don't need to push this game until the breaking point. We just need to win. We just need 3 points. That's all. We don't need to overextend ourselves.
Yeah, precisely. Look, that's the right approach. And this is the beauty of what Manchester City has is you look at they started a young Ukrainian player. The names escape me right now because there's too many young players to keep track of, but they started a couple young players. They rotated the squad pretty heavily. They still are able to get, they were able to pull Silva off earlier. They were able to pull Aguero off a bit early, and they still managed to get the job done and rest for the Hoffenheim game this afternoon, which in a couple hours when we're recording. So it's the job done. I mean, when you're the top team, and I think that's during that game, there was a comparison made with the commentators to, City fans love it when they're compared to this club, but they were comparing to the great United teams in the sense, especially under Ferguson, where when they had a Champions League, they were able to get the job done in the league comfortably in a way that allowed them to set themselves up for a Champions League midweek. And that's the key to any team being successful in both competitions is being having the roster depth to get through those Champions League games those league games so that they can focus their big guns on the Champions League games. And mission accomplished last week for City. As I said, it was really a canter throughout it. Brighton didn't really look like they wanted to add much to that competition other than they were happy to lose 2-0. They were protecting the 2-0 loss. They didn't want to have a sideways score thrown on them.
Yeah, they're like, hey, 2 is not too bad. They just beat a team 5-0 last week. So we're good. 2-0 is good. Everton 3, Fulham 0. You mentioned Fulham and their difficulty. Fulham's playing style, to be quite blunt, is simple. And sometimes simple doesn't quite cut it in the Premier League because defenders and midfielders figured out really easily a long time ago how to block passing lanes and block the long balls, and then you're stuck not having the ball running after Everton.
They like to get on the front foot, and it's a team that wasn't set up in the championship last year to necessarily defend desperately. And that's sort of, I think, that inability is sort of catching them off guards. When you look at Wolves, and they were so dominant in the championship last year that it doesn't surprise anyone that they managed to step up and find kind of their spot where they've historically been in that mid to, you know, that 10 to 15 range in the Premier League.
Let's not Whereas forget, Fulham, Wayne, if you talk about Wolves, they did make some good acquisition, the Moutinho, right? Just that, a name that you recognize, a recognizable name that is in the good to great players in this world right now. It makes a difference. Fulham, not so much.
Well, the Wolves just is a more historic team than Fulham, too. Fulham, you know, traditionally, before they had a little ingestion of money in the late 90s, early 2000s, was a team that was kind of League One, League Two. And then they jumped up. They ran all the way up to the Premier League, where they had a long run, and we were used to seeing them there. So I think a lot of people view Fulham as a Premier League team. But historically speaking, they're not really that, and they don't really have the fan base or the history behind them to allow them to have a massive investment. I think that they did. It's a tremendous accomplishment for them to be in the Premier League, and they're not where they were 20 years ago now because they had that run up there, which invested money in the team and gained them some fans. But still, I think when you look at those two clubs and compare them, you know, apples to apples, Wolves is just the more historic team that you would expect that would have the resources and the ability to adjust to a Premier League quicker when you look at the overall records throughout the years.
Chelsea-Liverpool, maybe the most entertaining game this match day. A good result for Liverpool. They battled hard to get that Daniel Sturridge cracker of a goal late in the game. It's too bad. Chelsea did dominate, or at least did get the brunt of the good plays in this one. Eden Hazard, once again, one of the best players, if not the best player on the planet right now. Eden Hazard seems like he has a little chip on his shoulder and has to prove himself. And Mauricio Sarri versus Antonio Conte is interesting in the management of big superstars. The pedigree of a Sarri as a player is non-existent. And as a manager, it's not bad at all. But to get the respect and the devotion that he seems to get out of Eden Hazard by finding ways to make Hazard influential every time he steps on the pitch, for me, is impressive. And we do see Chelsea maybe, I would say, having a bit more success so far in the Premier League than we anticipated. They were unbeaten, undefeated, and they're still unbeaten, but they were undefeated up until a few matches ago. And Chelsea against Liverpool, it was maybe a battle for second or even first, depending on the results in the next few months with Man City. But Chelsea-Liverpool, 1-1, fair result, but if you're Chelsea, you feel kind of bad that Daniel Sturridge scored that cracker of a goal to take away 2 points from your great game.
Or if you had $40 on the game for Chelsea to win, for example, completely random example.
You would be really mad at Sturridge.
At any rate, no, look, it was a good week for Chelsea, I think. You combine that with the midweek win in the League Cup over Liverpool as well, and suddenly there's a little dent in Liverpool. A lot of people were looking at them as being maybe, you know, unbeatable or something because they looked very good at the start of the year. And people expected Man City to do what they were doing. So you're not going to get the same amount of attention. Liverpool, we weren't too sure. And then when they run six straight off without, you know, having a point taken against them, you start to wonder, okay, maybe this team is going to be the dominant team this year. And Chelsea sort of over a week put a dent in that.
I was going to say without trailing. In the Chelsea game was the first time they were behind in this Premier League season, and Chelsea were able to do that. Chelsea did spend some money in the transfer window, but they, for once, I think they spent money wisely. Just Courtois was making noise. He wanted to go away. All right, go. We'll get Kepa. We'll get a younger one with maybe a bigger, a higher ceiling. We got that. We got a few good pieces, Kovacic and company. That didn't cost 200 million per players, but let's just use what we have a bit more smartly. And I guess that's what we have seen. All right, moving to Cardiff versus Burnley. Burnley on the road. Hey,
what, sorry,
Burnley. Burnley got the win on the road. Burnley are now closer to the top 10 than the bottom. They were a few weeks ago, and I guess they finally got around the Europa League hangover.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think Burnley's going to be fine. They showed last year that they have sort of a spirit to them, for lack of a better way to put it, that should keep them safe in this league, although they're only, what, 5 points out of the relegation zone. There's not a lot of safety zone. Hell, United's only 5 points out of the safety zone. Pardon me. They're sorry, 7 points, but 5 points from 17th. Cardiff City, Huddersfield, they're amongst the worst teams I've seen. The 13 points that Derby County put up, Derby County Slayers and Manchester United in the League Cup last week as well, which we didn't really talk about at all.
In penalties, 8-7 on penalties for Derby County in the League Cup. That was fascinating. So it's two losses in a row if you're United, and two big losses in a row.
Yeah, so exactly. But to get back to Cardiff and Huddersfield, I mean, that 13 points, Newcastle's at two right now as well, tied with them at the bottom in the relegation zone, 3 points off the drop, or 3 points ahead of the drop is Fulham there. So, but I think Cardiff and Huddersfield already, I'm almost willing to write them off. They are terrible. Like, they're just terrible. Huddersfield was lucky to stay up last year in terms of, and full credit to them. They got an extra year up there, which helps them for
you
the
know
future,
why, though? They stay up because they were just more terrible teams, not because they were good enough to stay, but because Sunderland.
Well, Sunderland was well back there, of course. Like, again, I put that 13 points. I'm not sure. I mean, they have two. They're on pace to, be better than that. But I don't see how Cardiff wins a game this year. I just don't, unless it's against Huddersfield, right? Or Southampton or something like that.
That's fascinating. Yeah, no, even Crystal Palace is kind of like struggling. Speaking of Crystal Palace, on Monday, the Cherries of Bournemouth versus Crystal Palace, 2-1 for the Cherries. And that's your Premier League wrap-up for match day number 7 of 38. The table, quickly, we'll just look at the top 5 because there's a bit of difference here. So 19 points for City, tied with Liverpool, 19 points. Chelsea, 2 points back at 17. Tottenham, 4 points back of City and Liverpool with 15, and Arsenal with 15 as well. Watford, best of the rest, I would say 6 right now with 6 points off the top of the league, which is a success for Watford. So it's the usual suspects in the top 5 that we expected to see there, and then Watford.
Yeah, what impresses me about Liverpool's start, and City's start for that matter, but Liverpool's start is that, when you look at their goal diff last year, they struggled keeping the ball out of the net. I mean, they scored a lot, so they were able to overcome that, but they've only allowed 3 goals so far this year. City's also only allowed 3 when they scored 21, so they have a plus 18 to the plus 12. But, I mean, those two teams with that goal diff are – there's a gap there even between what Chelsea's looking like. Chelsea's sticking with them, obviously, but just when you look at the goal differential, there does seem to be a bit of a gap there. Obviously, a big matchup very quickly upcoming. That's going to go a long way to setting the early stage. Whoever wins that game, Liverpool City will probably be on top at the break at Christmas, and I think, and might be considered the favorite to win this thing. So, I to mention City having maybe their most important game of the year today. And I do think that from their goals and all that, they cannot lose 2 in a row. They need to get a win here. And if they get a win today in Hoffenheim, and maybe this is the segue into it before we get to something real briefly in between, then they're fine, but they can't get into a hole, because then they're going to have to really scramble to get out of it, and they might only get second, and then maybe you're drawing United, or not United, but because it can't, in the round of 16, something like, you're drawing a big team in the round of 16 at any rate, and that's difficult for them. But that game in the weekend's obviously huge as well. Kevin, before we go on, we're going to segue into the Champions League. Before we do that, I did want to briefly mention the Cristiano Ronaldo, the allegations against him. Obviously, these are very serious allegations. We've heard about them before. There was a settlement that came out. This is a continuation of that. I retweeted in my feed today, Kevin, a thread from the journalist that reported on this that you should read. We're not going to comment, and I'll let you say anything you want, but I'm not going to comment any further on this until more information comes out. It's obviously very serious, and I don't want to say anything that I'm going to regret later, because I simply don't know what's happening or what's going on. I do believe in the importance of victims being able to come forward and make claims against who they're accusing without being attacked and harassed very strongly I believe that, and I also very strongly believe in due process. So it's kind of something where I'm going to put it out there. We're aware of it. We're not ignoring it, but that's we're not going to say any more on it until there's more to say.
You can read the article on Der Spiegel if you can read German. Now, the Champions League will quickly finish the show with this. A few interesting matchup and a few just regular matchup. I'm just going to mention it, and then I'll ask you which one, and I have a feeling, which one you're actually looking forward to today. Offenheim, Man City, Juventus versus Young Boys, AEK versus Benfica, CSKA Moscow versus Real Madrid, Bayern versus Ajax, Man United versus Valencia, and the last two games today, Lyon, Shakhtar Donetsk, and Roma, and Victoria Plzeň.
What game am I most interested in? Obviously, yes. The Benfica AEK game. I'm a huge Greek football fan, and no, I'm going to watch the City game. But look, if I'm going to be objective about this, obviously United Valencia is the game to watch. I'm interested to watch Bayern. Bayern had a slip up in the Bundesliga last week. That's a rare thing to say. Ajax is always kind of fun to watch, although I think that's a bit of a mismatch there. But United Valencia, in terms of all the drama and the intrigue around that, is a massive game, and Valencia is no pushover, so that is a tough one for Jose Mourinho to go into. And look, as we said earlier in the show, I don't think this man's going to get fired before the end of the group stage of the Champions League. I don't think that's going to happen. But if Valencia were to go put a beating on them, then maybe they would have to do something at that point. I've already talked about Hoffenheim City and the importance of that from Manchester City's perspective. That is obviously goes without saying. I'm not going to say any more on that. But you know what? Sorry, go ahead, Kevin.
I was going to say the only thing that's more important for Hoffenheim Man City, for Man City fans, is the Lyon-Shakhtar Donetsk game from the same group later on today. If Lyon, which will probably be able to handle Shakhtar Donetsk, but if Lyon at home beats Donetsk at well, that's 6 points out of two games and a good differential. This could be spelling trouble already for Man City, which will have to battle from behind to finish top of the group.
I think City looks at this as they win the 5 out of the 6, they'll probably win the group. That's the only way I think you can approach it as the favorites in the group, having slipped up in the first game. But you can't afford that. Does put incredible pressure on your road games that you can't slip up. Normally, had City won the game against Lyon as expected, you could afford a point on the road. You wouldn't ideally like it, but you could afford it. Whereas now, that point on the road would be big trouble. They'd be 5 points back likely, right? And that's not something that they can afford to do.
No, absolutely. We'll be back tomorrow with a review of those Champions League game and another Champions League preview of tomorrow's game. There's a few big games as well coming tomorrow. Until then, you can follow Dwayne on social media at 24th Minute, myself at Kev Larame. And we'll be back. Until then, have a great soccer.
You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcast.